بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ایسی حیف باید که از تو غیرتو جویم. This will be an act of actual, it will be an act of total zulm. If I beg of you anything besides you, it's an act of total zulm. If I beg of you anything besides you. What it means. When a person is coming closer to Allah Ta'ala, then he's leaving out a lot of don'ts and he's doing a lot of things. So spiritually he's getting trained, disciplined. And as you are getting trained spiritually, becoming more and more refined, that your sight is becoming much more refined, your heart is becoming much more pure, and your intelligence is improving, and you will begin to experience things that others don't experience. You'll see some things others don't. You will experience things that others don't experience. A lot of things as Mufsab's father used to say, the tasawwuf majma'a ajaib or gharaib. Ajib, gharib things happen. Sometimes in a second it can happen, sometimes it can happen after years, but there's a lot of ajaib and gharaib that take place. And it's because of that ajaib and gharib nature, it's so exotic, so luring, so beautiful and exciting, that you may have heard of a lot of kings giving up their kingdom to come onto this. But you may have never heard of a buzurg leaving his righteousness to receive a kingdom. So he must have seen something else here. That person, kingdom and everything, he leaves it up, he gives it up to come this side. But on the other way, other side, this person, he will not have the heart to leave out this and come onto material, he doesn't have it. So it's something different, something very strange, unique. And it's just a matter of you getting a taste of it, that's all. And the taste comes, generally the taste comes, jab apne ji aur dil ko tamam cheezon se hata karke uski taraf ho jaye. When you turn your heart and your mind totally freezing from everything, come towards Allah Ta'ala. جَعَلَ الْحُمُومَ حَمَّا وَاحِدًا. Then you start getting these experiences. But then, that's another trial now. When you're getting these experiences, then you want more of the experience, or you want Allah Ta'ala. You will get these experiences, but then the question is that, are you more interested in the experience, or you're interested in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What you're interested in? Those experience will come. It'll be very exciting, too exciting. In the past, Buzurgan Din used to run khanqahs with madrasas parallel. And our Buzurgan Din also was the same. If there's a khanqah, then running a madrasa with it. And perhaps the wisdom in that was, you don't get a sheikh always in a khanqah. If one is gone, you may not always find another one running the same thing. Right? But the madrasa can continue, because you can get some ustads, ulama, etc. to continue with the talim. But now, to replace one buzurg with another buzurg, that may not be possible all the time. Can be sometimes, but not all the time. Like you see Tana Bhavan, the more Tanvi Sahib rahmatullahi has gone, right? But there's nobody to replace. Jalalabad, Hazarji went away, so there's nobody to replace. So, but in madrasa, you can continue. Now they're putting up a structure, and they don't want now, it must end up with him, it must be with him and end up with him. That must continue. The day a buzurg comes, alright, he'll take the seat. He's gone, the madrasa is, the dini work is continuous. So the student wanted, was very curious to know, alright, so we hear of the karamat and the miracles of Hazrat Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayh. So I want to see it firsthand. I heard a lot of his, lot of his miracles, and it's true, a lot of miracles performed at his hands. So the student wanted to see himself, right, as to what this miracle is all about. And you get some of the students that are very daring. They want to see things, see it, and they see it very, you know, first time they want to see it. Then they're not worried what happens afterwards. But as long as I get the experience. So he saw it timed, you know, this time he gets up and all that. So what's he doing now? So he saw, he got up, made wuzu, and then he left the khanqah. Now the student is very, very gracefully and discreetly following him. As he's following him, in a moment, he's by the gate of the town, whereas from the khanqah to the gate is about 10 kilometers. But in a second, he's there already. But because he's following him, so he's also coming with the same space. As he comes to the gates of the town, it just opens out and he's come out through. And then in the next moment, he's gone to Mosul from Baghdad. He's reached Mosul now, approximately 2,000 kilometers. So we're just moving. I'm seeing, the student is seeing, small puddles of water, and we're just crossing. And we're just moving. Right, we hear. Then we are in a home, and I see there's quite a few people that seem to be very pious and righteous. See them all, and they're all sitting around Hazrat Sayyid Abdul Qadir Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. He's like the head, and all of them are around. Right. As though it is a mashwara that is taking place. And in the meanwhile, while this is happening, I can hear water dropping. Alright. So, as the water is dripping, I see one janaza is just prepared and it's come through. Sayyid Sahib Rahmatullahi performed the janaza namaz and they continued with that mashwara. So, they're discussing. And suddenly, I see one man comes in with a cross around his neck. Sayyid Sahib breaks that cross, lets him recite the kalima, shahadatain, and then he sends him off. Alright, everything is finished, the mashwara is over. And you can't hear now, they're talking, but there's some way that they are discussing that I can't get. Alright, everything happened, the mashwara is over, and we come back to the khanqah. Same, covering a distance, 1,000 or 2,000 kilometers in seconds is covering that. Now the student seen all these things there, can't sleep, whole night is tossing from one end to the other end. And he can't resist. So by the morning he's asking, but what happened? Tell me what happened. Well, were you following us? Yes, I followed you the whole night. He says, you see, by the grace of Allah Ta'ala allowed me to cover the distance. In a second, I discovered the distance, right? The puddles you saw were all rivers. We just crossed like that. And the place that we sat in, there were all the abdals, right, that are posted to different regions, and I'm the head of them. And what was being discussed was a certain abdal is passing away. First they heard the groaning, then they heard the ghusl, then he saw the janaza. So that person was passing away, and when he was passing away, there was a need to replace him. That's why they call abdal, you know, badal. It's not from dal. Think you eat dal, you call abdal. Kheer kha karke peer ban jate hai. Zarda kha karke darja malum hasil hote hai. So it's all like that. It's a lot of spiritual training, lot of discipline, training, resistance, lot of things you have to resist, right? I'm just telling the story here for another purpose, right? So there was it was being discussed now that who is the most suitable candidate. So they decided, or that certain Christian person, he's went to a lot of spiritual exercises. He's looking for the truth, he can't find the truth. Because he's in a land, there's no Muslims there. But he is in search of the truth. But overall, he's denied a lot of material, he's got nothing to do with the material. His concern is about the hereafter. So we saw the person, checked him out, and we asked Allah Ta'ala to bring him. And he came in. From that land, so far away, he came in, pulled the cross up, broke the cross, and make talqeen of the shahadatin, prompted him to recite the kalima, he recited. We pushed him to that place. So what he came in and how he was sent. Now you hear the stories here, and sometimes you want to go through it yourself, right? You want to see it yourself. Sometimes you see a dream and you want to see it yourself. You want to have a repeat dream, an experience, and you want it again, right? So these type of things are not the goal, right? They're not what you're supposed to be achieving or running towards. Imagine person is in the Himalayas and is meditating, a pure Hindu or Buddhist, and is meditating. In his meditation, he wants to discover that spiritual light that comes from Allah Ta'ala, where it's centered to. It's coming from the heavens, but where is it focused? From there you could make out it's coming to the Ganga. And he followed that light from the Himalayas. He followed the light and he saw it's coming right to the Ganga. So he can see it, but the people in the Khanqah, they can't see it. But now, has he reached any maqam? No darja bhai. Nothing, absolutely nothing. You went through that exercise, and because of that exercise, you may be experiencing something, but until and unless you don't follow the sunnah, then you are absolutely nothing. You may be able to see something, some experiences, but the criterion by Allah Ta'ala is the sunnah. You don't follow the sunnah, you're nowhere, absolutely nowhere. Now this Hindu comes in to the Mawla Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullahi, and he asks him, can you give me some zikrs? Mawla said blankly, no, absolutely nothing. Until you accept Islam, then we will teach you zikr. So he went away. Some of the students began to ask. Student also is a little bit of a difficult lot, you see. Everything I don't know. Too curious. But you know, if you had prompted him to recite the kalima, maybe he would have come into iman. Slowly, gradually, he would have tasted the sweetness of the kalima, he would have come to me. I said, no. He'll get more distance, he'll distance himself even further from his iman. How? Because the zikr brings you to some experiences. You see certain things. You get certain feelings, right? When you get that feelings and some experiences, so now you will think, well, I don't have to be a Muslim to get this experience. Right? I can just make zikr and I can get the same thing without iman. So when he's going to get the things without iman, he'll say, well, iman is not a precondition. I can just pay the zikr, I can get the type of spiritual experiences. So this will mislead him even further. He's just doing the zikr for getting this type of experiences. So it will mislead him even further. So therefore, Mawlana said, blank, no, I'm not going to give you anything. In fact, our Buzugana deen was such that if someone is having too much of these things here, this type of experiences, then somehow they'll try and nip it in the bud. If too much of this, stop it. One student is in the khidmat of the Muisab Rahmatullahi, and he's seeing now miles away, he can see this country, I can see this terrace, I can see this river, the sea. So he's seeing things thousands of miles away. Mawlana watched him for a moment and asked him, "Kis khurafat mein mubtala ho? What nonsense you involved in?" That was now, he got kash now. With that kash, he's seeing things that are far, far away. And he's getting lured into it. So, what nonsense you are involved in? So don't consider these things to be achievements. This is just an experience, and that experience is not the goal. That experience, you know, you get a spiritual feeling, high feeling. Rather take a drug, you'll get that feeling, you'll jump. Right? But you're using this to get that type of feeling, that's wrong. Just for the feeling you're doing it, you're doing it for the wrong reasons. That is to say that some of these things of kashf, you know, what's going to happen, even animals can see it. Says in the neighborhood, we had a dog, right? So the dog will sleep outside. In the summer in India, I don't know how it is, but I know when we were there, in the summers, then they put the charpais outside. And you rest there, because inside it's too hot. So they put the charpais outside, and everybody's resting there. The Dioban also was the same. In the summers, you put your charpais outside. You rest there. The charpai, that bed is so easy, one hand you can just carry it, bring it outside, and just take it back. So it's so easy to maneuver the thing. And once we were studying, there was one boy, white boy. He was from New Zealand or something. Right? Tall, a bit extra white. Tall boy. So now, his room was just on the road out to the masjid. Right? Now, in the summers when you're sleeping, you sleep with a vest and a lungi, right? And it's routine, like in the early part of the morning, it becomes a little bit cooler. When it's cooler, you want to put something over yourself to just keep yourself warm. So now, it's Azan time, and people are going to the masjid. Astaghfirullah. He took that lugi and he covered himself. The body is white, and then and it's uncovered. Now what's going to happen? So now, the dog in the neighborhood, he could make out from the movement of the dog if it's going to rain on that night. Because the dog, what he would do, if it's going to rain, it won't sleep in the outside. It'll sleep in the covered area. So that thing could make out in the day that it's going to rain at night. So that kashf and all these things here is not things that you are supposed to be running towards. One yogi, he did some spiritual exercises. So he came to Muftisab Rahmatullahi, said, "I want to test, I want to try you out." He said, "All right, let's try you out in emulating the sunnah. Let's see how far you can go." So you can do things with that spiritual exercise. You can do a lot of things. The mind, spiritual exercise, you can do a lot of things. You can drop an elephant. A lot of things you can do. But these are not maqasid, they are not the goals. Now you get this yogis and all that, they're doing all these things here, just to get that experience. You know, some years back, there was a Jewish professor that was here, that came here. He was sitting here, I think, up, and he came to see me. So, like usually, if someone accepts Islam, you ask them, you know, what attracted you towards Islam? So he says that around the 60s or so, in America, you could feel a spiritual void. There was no spirituality. So we were looking for some spirituality. So we found yogism. And in the yogism we found some level of satisfaction, or some inner goodness with it. But then as we went with yogism, we saw that it's not taking us to any goal. Do some exercise, and you get some experience, and you get some satisfaction. But it's got no goal in it. So when I saw that it's got no goal, then I just left it out. Then we began to search again until we found Islam. So we need to appreciate these people, they find Islam with so much of difficulty. To yogism, this exercise, that other exercise, self-denial. Eventually they come through. Right? And here we just inherited the thing. So how much are we supposed to be appreciating and be grateful to Allah Ta'ala that without any effort on our part, Allah Ta'ala just made it happen to be born in good homes. I say, bhai, give your life for Allah Ta'ala. There isn't a thing you can say that I can offer. What He's given you, there's no price for it. Your life is not the price. Your wealth is not the price. Too much. What He's given is too much. What you're giving is just some change you're giving. And what you're receiving is so much that is beyond your imagination. Really, it's beyond your imagination. So now, people run after these things here, whereas these are not the maqasid. They are not the things to run towards. In fact, the Buzughan ad-Din, or the Awliya-i Kiram, they are approximately unanimous that there is a saintly person at whose hands there was no miracle, and there's a saintly person who showed a lot of miracles. So who is greater? The one that showed miracles or the one that showed no miracles throughout his life? They are approximately unanimous that the one that didn't show any miracles is far greater than the one that showed miracles. Because he didn't see anything and he didn't do anything, yet he stuck on. And this person saw and he made some things happen, right? And that motivated him further. Yeah, he didn't have any motivation. Nothing to drive him. And he's still stuck. You know, using a dream, seeing something happening, seeing things working out for you, and that's driving you, right? And yeah, he didn't have any experience, but he just stuck on, he just moved on. He moved on. In the 60s and 70s, then people began to see a lot of dreams as they're moving in Jamaat. One Jamaat from India went to Baitul Muqaddas. So the Mufti, the head Mufti of that place, came to receive the Jamaat. So people are wondering now, why is it that the head Mufti came to receive the Jamaat? Only simple people, they may not be learned, but he himself took the trouble to come and receive them. So he says, no, I saw Hazrat Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I went to meet him. And when I went to meet him, he said, go, mere log aaye hue hai. My people have come here, I'm going to receive them. I said, Wallah, I saw this person. He identified exactly what he saw in the dream. He identified them. Until, after some time, they reminded themselves that Al-Mu'ala Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh had made this dua that Allah Ta'ala don't allow this work to be based on dreams and experiences, miracles, etc. Right? Because now, you don't get a miracle in a dream recurring all the time, number one. And number two, if you base it on miracles and dreams, etc., then there's a lot of other movements. What stops them to fabricate a dream? Someone can fabricate, make up a dream. So I had this dream, and I saw this thing here, and this thing happened to me. So, therefore, Mawla Yasab made the dua that don't allow this work to be running of dreams and experiences. Come from the Sunnah and the Hadith, Quran and Hadith. So this is a lasting thing, it's strong, it's a pillar, support that you can't shake. Nobody can shake it in whichever era, whichever century, whichever era, but nobody can shake the Quran Hadith. Other things can be shakeable, right? They can be doubtful. But this, who can shake it off? So, these experiences we are talking about, and we are not supposed to be running after these experiences. Right? Because they can be misleading. Sayyid Abdul Qadir Sahib, that story that you read just now, right? He had that same experience. He's in Ibadat. And in that Ibadat, he sees a lot of Noor, Malaika, a lot of things, the whole atmosphere has been covered. So, what an experience. He's making zikr or tilawat, and he's getting this experience. The whole place is covered with Noor and all that. So, as he's seeing all these things here, and suddenly he is feeling very thirsty. Oh, there's an urge to drink water. And then, as the urge increases, then there's a golden goblet that is presented to him. Nice, crystal, clear water. So he thinks to himself, but gold is forbidden. هَذِي حَرَامٌ لِذُكُورِ أُمَّتِي. For men to use golden bracelets or any gold jewelry, etc., it's impermissible. And to use it is even more impermissible. Males and females cannot use it as a utensil, right? So now, how is this being presented before me when this is haram for this ummah? How is this being presented before me? See, now as he's going through this, so there's another message that's coming through. What is haram and what is halal? We are the ones that make halal, we are the ones that make haram. We make halal and we make haram. So we have made this halal for you. Now he's getting even more worried now. The voice is coming to him, right? That this we have declared as halal. See, someone goes into this thing here and he doesn't know that what is the goal, how he can get misled, how he can get swayed. He doesn't know what it is all about. But he's just getting some experience, some dreams, etc. And he feels that this is the way to go. And how misleading it is. How misleading it is. I know some people came here. They said, watch out from this person here. This person is, I saw my dream, he's a bad person. Now, you base the whole thing on a dream. As pious as you are, but you can't base this thing on a dream. Because the dream could have some other meaning. What you are making of the dream, and what it actually is, maybe worlds apart. Right. Someone was having a dream about beast lesson. So, from what, how he related, whether it was a dream, or whether it was whatever, he would have felt very much depressed. But as I went and lied down, I thought about the thing. So I said, now this is a verse of the Quran Sharif. أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ وَلَمَّا يَأْتِكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاءُ وَالضَّرَّاءُ وَزُلْزِلُوا حَتَّى يَقُولَ الرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ أَلَا إِنَّ نَصْرَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ. The way he reported it to me, he would have felt depressed. But I thought about it, now this is an ayat of the Quran Sharif. That You have to reach the ultimate, right? In your exertion, in the difficulty that you go through, until everybody sees Mata Nasrullah. But when is this going to come up? So Allah Pak promises, Allah inna nasrullahi qareeb. See, hatta yaqul ar-rasul, even the Rasul asks, when is this going to happen? Because the Rasul is worried about his following. They see a delay in the help of Allah Ta'ala, they mustn't get shaken up. He's not working out now, we are working out. So the Nabi is convinced that everything is going to happen. But he's worried about his following. His following mustn't be shaken up now. The faith mustn't be shaken up. Azul zilu. They're getting shaken now. So Allah Pak is reassuring them by, don't worry. Allah inna nasrallahi qareeb. So this is the meaning, what he saw. And if it's not explained, he'll get into a depression. So now, as he's getting this experience, it's so important that these things, you don't interpret these things yourself. Don't try to take out yourself. One person sees in a dream that there's a goblet of wine, and the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, Ishrab, drink. Now, I saw the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this is what he's telling me. So the ulama in that samana, they had to explain the whole thing, what happened exactly. Says that Amr comes about 10 reasons, right? As you see in your Nurul Anwar, right? Comes for about 10 reasons. So Amr can also come for Tahdeed. Tahdeed is like you reprimanding someone. You reprimanding someone. No. Your child has got a bad cough, asthmatic, and he wants to take a popsicle and cold juice he wants to take. So the father replies, yeah, drink this. So what he means? The father asks him to drink it. It's a reprimand, but it's a reprimand in a different way. See? So that Amr can come as a reprimand as well. It doesn't have to mean that Amr is for wujub, is to show compulsory. See? How important it is to do all these things, how important it is. See the need for ulama-i kiram, righteous ulama-i kiram, that they can guide you aright. Everybody is taking it on his own. Innocent people get implicated, like this man is saying, hey, this person must be careful of him. I saw a dream, you know. I had a vision about him. He's a bad person. So, now you don't know what they're up to. Whether he's got a vendetta, and that vendetta turned out as a dream or a vision, and that vision came to me, and after that, so just ignore these people. You can't even tell them, because if you're not taking me seriously. Important people in the community now, they think you're not taking them seriously. They just say, "Haan karin hai, budi jawani, has karke, taal de naat." You just laugh and just ignore it. Don't take this thing serious. So anyway, as Sayyid Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, when he sees this, then he says, but the Sharia of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is not abrogated. It's not going to be cancelled. It is to last till the day of Qiyamah. So how can anybody say that this is halal for you, when the Sharia cannot be cancelled? It is here to remain, and to remain right till the end. When it's here to remain right till the end, then how can anybody say that no, that this is cancelled, the prohibition on the gold has been cancelled for you? So he said, hey, this is wrong. And he said, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. First, he brought that yaqeen in him, that there's no cancellations in the Sharia of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the way, the Sunnah of Nabi Sallam, there's no cancellations, right? When there's no cancellations, he's confirmed, he's convinced about it. Now the conviction, I said, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. When he said, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, all that light and everything you were seeing, everything vanished. And that shaitan that was tricking, you know, that had this whole conspiracy, he came out and he's running away. And he says, "You're lucky, Abdul Qadir. You know, it's your knowledge that has saved you for today." What? "You're lucky that it's your knowledge that saved you today." So he says, "Hey, the shaitan is running away, and whilst he's escaping, he still wants to trick me." See, he's running away. He understood that conspiracy didn't work. And now he got disgraced. And as he's escaping, he's still trying to trick me. So, Sayyid Sahib says, "Go, La'in Iblis, cursed. You're escaping and you're still trying to trick me. It is only the grace of Allah Ta'ala that has saved me today. It is just the grace of Allah Ta'ala that has saved me." So some Mahmud from Gango, he says, that means the actual thing is the grace of Allah Ta'ala. Ilm is to make out what is right and wrong, that it just gives you an idea, this is right and this is wrong. But what actually saves you is the grace of Allah Ta'ala. A lot of people know this is haram. They know porn is not permissible, but they still watch. Doesn't it happen? They know it's haram. So what stops you? It's the grace of Allah Ta'ala. With grace, you are graced. Otherwise, you are disgraced. Allah Ta'ala.